Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by $1 Million Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under Programs and Product page and click on $1 Million Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Tola Benny. How are you?
Hi, I am good. How are you?
I am doing great, great. And Tola's in South Africa, one of the places I'm going to be visiting here one day very, very soon. She's going to be a great host and showing us around South Africa, right?
Yay, I can't wait. Cape Town, yes.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining me for the podcast today. And so, Tola, for the folks who may not necessarily know you out there, can you briefly tell us who you are and where people can get a hold of you?
Okay, cool. So my name is Tola Benny, as you have said. I'm a life coach, but I'm also a podcaster and a blogger. I have a travel and lifestyle blog. And I'm a former high school teacher, and I'm also a former research psychologist. So I worked in medical research for many, many, many years, 15 years of my life. Wow. But these days I go by the label of content creator because I'm more now in the creative side of things, right? Which is where I met you. So for anyone who wants to get in contact, I am on all social media platforms. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, under my name, Tola Benny. On Instagram, I go by my brand, which is Phoenix_Rising00. That is my handle on Instagram.
Awesome, folks. You got to follow her. Get on, follow her podcast. You're going to find out in a minute why she goes by the title Phoenix Rising. She is certainly a phoenix who has rose out of some very, very tough times. So again, I appreciate you being on as well. So, as you know, our podcast really focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having you share your story in terms of how you overcame the obstacle you came. So I want to, my first question, tell us a little bit about some of the obstacles you face. I know a little bit about your story in regards to just the enormous amount of challenges you faced. I believe it was 2019.
Yes.
Talk to us about what happened in 2019.
It actually started a couple of years before that. Wow. So 2019 was like the culmination of everything, really. Wow. So I got divorced in 2017 after 21 years of marriage. Wow. And lost my family home, really, out of that divorce. And then I lost a parent, my dad, whom I was very, very close to in 2018. He was brutally attacked in his home in a house robbery. And then 2019 is when I lost my job. And in the process of all of that, lost all my money, got scammed out of my money, my life savings, and came very, very close to losing what is currently my home. So a series of things, just, when you feel like everything is falling apart, really losing one thing after another in very quick succession. So yeah, that's what happened to me.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And again, my condolences on losing your father the whole ordeal. That's very, very tough. And I've gone through a divorce as well. And, it's very, very tough. So when people are hearing your story from a distance, talk to us about the feelings that you endured and the emotions you had to go through as you're dealing with challenge after challenge after challenge, back to back to back. What were the emotions that you were dealing with? Yeah.
For me, it's the classic case of the five stages of grief, honestly, Dr. Tommy. So I went through all the stages, the first stage of a denial and saying, this is not happening. It cannot be happening to me. Yeah. When you feel like you're watching a horror movie or maybe you are in, you know, you are dreaming about this. This is some dark nightmare that you are going through, and you think to yourself, I'm going to wake up from this and it's all going to be fine. Right. So that's, you know, that was the first stage, just total denial that how can this be happening to me? And then progressing to the next stage, which is anger, right? Like, why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Yeah. I've been a good person. I don't deserve this. I remember one day things got so bad. I literally ran outside my house to the backyard and I screamed, and I was screaming at God. And I was like, why are you doing this? I don't deserve this. You know, so the anger, all of that. And then, you know, the next stage where you are bargaining with God. God, if you return the things you've taken away from me, yes, I'm going to be nicer to people. You know, I'm going to go visit Mrs. So-and-so down the road who lives by herself, and I'll take her flowers. You know, I'm going to give more at church. I'm bargaining. And then going through a depression. Yeah. And then finally, acceptance, you know, when you get to that stage where you're like, okay, you know what, we are not going back. This is the current state of affairs. Now let's deal with the cards that we have been given. Yeah. So yeah, the typical, you know, five stages of grief, honestly.
That is so powerful. That was so powerful. And I appreciate you sharing that. So, you know, as you think back, what were some of the coping mechanisms that you turned to help you get through series yeah. after series, crisis after crisis? What did you turn to?
You know, I am honestly one of the most positive people I know. I am naturally a positive person. So I'm your typical, the glass is half full. I always see good in things. I see good in people. So, you know, to me, I was like, no, man, this is going to be over. This is going to be over soon. And one of my favorite motivational speakers is Lisa Nichols. I don't know if you know Lisa.
Yes, absolutely.
And Lisa, I identify with Lisa on so many levels. One of the things she says is, I give myself 1,000 chances. Mm-hmm. And when I get to 999, I hit the reset button. Yes. So that was me. I kept saying, this is going to be, you know, this is going to get better. Let me give myself another chance. Let me give myself another chance, you know. And then my kids, obviously. My kids, I live for my kids. Honestly, when I have dark moments, I always think I don't want to drag my kids through it. My kids are not going to see me fail. So those are the things really that, you know, that kept me going and how I coped with the whole situation.
That's awesome. You know, you mentioned losing your father. So as you were going through this, did you have another mentor or a guide to kind of help you navigate this space that you were dealing with?
So after all of that, all the wheels had fallen off, really what I then did was sign up for the life coaching course. And so I was then fortunate enough to come into the space where there were other people who were training to become life coaches. And most of those people have experienced some type of adversity themselves, right? And me being a part of that, I kind of became part of a, what did we call it? This group of coaches, a mastermind. We used to call it a mastermind. And we met regularly. We will meet maybe monthly or twice a month and share resources. What are you reading? What are you doing? Meditation, this and that. So I learned so much from them, and I really appreciate being part of. So those are the people that I can honestly say were my mentors during that time.
Well, that's awesome. And it's great for people to hear that, you know, that you invested in yourself during the darkest time and met these coaches as well. So, you know, on your darkest, most difficult day or night, that midnight hour, what kept you going? What kept you from giving up?
Mostly, as I've indicated, I think it's my kids. You know, there were really dark moments where I thought I could end this, right? And I don't have to endure this. And for the first time in my life, I came to understand why people commit suicide. Because I used to be the kind of person who used to say, oh, people who commit suicide are so selfish. They only think about themselves. Right. They don't care about what they, you know, the grief that they leave behind and the destruction and all of that. They're very selfish. But for the first time in my life, I understood why when you're sitting there and you have no money in the bank and you think, I've got investments though. You know, I've got life insurances, whatever, I don't know what you call them in the US. And I won't get those right while I'm still this age. I have to wait until I'm 65. But then you start thinking, but if I end this, my kids get to get all of that. So those are the dark moments. And then, but for me, fortunately, I'm also one person that when depression hits, I don't sit there and unpack and leave there. I very quickly get myself out of it, you know, and the thought was, it doesn't matter the amount of money that my kids would come to inherit. It could never replace me because my kids and I have such a strong bond. They are really my best friends, my daughters, my two daughters. And I knew that no amount of money would ever be able to erase, you know, the destruction or whatever, that the trauma that, you know, I place on them by doing that. So that was the main thing that kept me going.
Very insightful. I really appreciate you sharing that as well. So, you know, as you look back on that experience over the last several years, how would you say this all kind of shaped you as a person?
Oh, it has definitely made me a stronger person. You know, adversity comes to, at the moment, it feels like everything is going against you. It's like someone, you know, the whole universe has conspired against you to get you. But when you're standing on the other side of it, you realize that everything was meant to shape you to become the person that you are now. So, you know, before I was just and also here's the other thing. I came to get a bit more intimate with God, with the universe, and before, and I know people often laugh and say, oh yeah, she had to lose everything in order to find God. But, you know, and for many people who go through that experience. But honestly, for me, I was the kind of person who was just living life, not carelessly, but life was just dandy. You know, nothing was challenging. You know, but almost to a point of being predictable, you know, the next day is going to look more or less the same as today, and so on and so on. And I didn't need to strengthen any muscle in terms of resilience and being a strong person and all of that. And now the things that I have learned and the lessons that I've had to master, and when I look at myself now and I look at myself 4 years ago, I see a totally different person. I've come to appreciate life a bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is really great perspective to have on it. And I hope our folks are really getting a lot of from what you're saying out there as well. You know, so continuing that same spirit though, as you look back over the last several years, would you do anything differently?
No, because I think everything, I have no regrets. I'm also one person who doesn't live with regrets. I don't regret anything, no matter how crazy it was, because I always feel like I was meant to experience that, because every bit has shaped me to be the person that I am today. You know, I don't regret my divorce. I appreciate my ex-husband because he gave me the two kids that love me so much, that I love so much, who are my greatest pride and joy. So I don't say, oh, what a waste of 21 years of my life. I'm just using that as an example. You know, I was talking to another podcaster the other day and I was saying, I started off as a school teacher. That was the first career I went into straight after college. And at some point, you know, when you are, you've been in the education system, and maybe it's different in the US, but in South Africa, you know, kids sometimes are unappreciative. Yeah, they're difficult. You know, it's a job that you do because you have a love for it. You love teaching, right? It's not something you go into to make money. It certainly doesn't pay here in this country. And but so when I was teaching, I taught for 7 years, and then I was like, I'm so over it. I can't take this anymore. Like, God, take me out of this. But now I look back and I say, what an amazing experience, because everything, every skill that I mastered back then, I am now applying in today's life. And also I see those kids, they are now grown adults. And they are so, when they see me, oh, Mrs. Denny, oh, you were such, you're one of my favorite teachers. It's such a fulfilling experience. Absolutely. So I have no regrets. I don't wish anything had happened any differently, honestly, no matter how hard it was. There was a reason for it.
That is awesome. That's the answer that the vast majority of my podcast guests give as well.
Okay. So,
yeah, absolutely. So that's a great answer. So, you know, Tola, we're coming off a tough year for a lot of folks. You know, people have lost finances, loved ones, jobs, and even many situations, even lost hope. What words of advice can you give those folks out there listening to let them know that a brighter day is to come?
Oh, I mean, for sure. And it sounds cliches, right? I mean, when you say brighter day is coming, It is coming. It's one of those things that you have to go through. You have to go through some type of difficulty in order to emerge as a victor or whatever at the end of the day. And while you're going through it, you know, when people say time is the, it's like when you lose a loved one and people say time is the greatest healer. You're like, oh my God, you know, like as if they don't understand what you're going through. But now I can talk about my dad passing away and I don't break down and cry when I talk about it. So if there's one thing really, which is a constant, but it's really time, you know, it really does heal. And nothing is permanent, right? Nothing is permanent. So yes, you may be going through the darkest of times now, but one thing is for sure is that it's not, the night doesn't last forever. The day is going to come up at some point. And you just have to, for me, what kept me going also was to learn that everything is happening for me, not to me. Because initially, when I thought things were happening to me, that's when I was shouting at God and I was mad, why is this happening to me? But when I started changing my mindset and learning that actually it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. So then you start to understand that there's a bigger reason. There's a higher calling, if I may put it that way. Your story is going to help someone one day. Now I'm telling you my story in the hopes that someone is listening out there and getting healed from it and saying, if she went through that, then I can too.
That's right. That's right. Boy, folks out there, I hope you are excited by Tola Benny's story. She is an inspiration. An overcomer. She is resilient. She is a phoenix rising, no doubt about it. Hey, Tola, if people want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to do that?
Honestly, the best way is to direct message me on Instagram, because that's where I think I spend most of the time. I have also a website, which is my lifestyle website, my blog, which is www.zulusingleandfab.com.
That's awesome. And what is your Instagram handle?
Instagram handle is phoenix_rising00.
Awesome. So folks, get out there, follow her. She made it very easy for you. You talk about an inspirational person, great coach who's kind of been there, done that. Someone you can certainly learn from as well. So Tola, we've had a chance to talk about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have a little fun now?
Let's have fun.
All right, good. We're about to have some fun here. So this is called our rapid fire purpose of our portion of our segment here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a number of questions, rapid fire. I want you to give the audience your best succinct answer.
Oh my,
sounds good. Ready?
I don't know. Okay.
You can do it. I believe in you. Here we go. Tola, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
Oh God, you had to start with the most difficult one. It's to just start. You, even when you're not doing it scared, but doing it. You know the fake it till you make it, but for me, it's faith it till you make it.
I like that.
So, I like that.
Good answer. What gives your life meaning?
My kids.
What one word best describes you?
Happy, happy, happy.
Good. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Oh God, poverty. Mm-hmm. Poverty, yeah. That's the biggest thing for me.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
To sit in my dad's car for hours listening to music.
Really?
Yeah, I would sit there for hours. My dad had Barry White, the tapes. I used to listen to Barry White for hours.
Really? Yeah. Barry White, yeah. You can't go wrong there. Who else is going to do? Barry White and who else?
Luther Vandross later on. Yeah. Obviously, Luther came a little bit later, yeah. Yeah.
Those are two good ones. I love it. I'm glad to hear that, yes.
Yeah.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Sleep. At my age, you want to take naps, right?
Yeah.
It's mandatory.
Yes, you can all relate to that, yes. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
She imagined that I would be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If not, a singer, because I was very much into music.
Okay, awesome. Still, I love it. I love it. Who inspires you the most?
Well, she's not here anymore, my grandma.
Wow.
Yeah, my grandma, everything I do, I just hope I make her proud.
Absolutely, that's awesome. I'm sure she's shining down, looking down on
you.
Very proud of you. Yeah. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
Oh God, that it only takes one glass of wine to make me drunk.
I'm glad she's gone.
I'm not a big drinker.
Away from the bottle that I told her. What is on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Within the next year is to move to another country.
Okay. Which country do you have in mind?
I'm thinking somewhere in Europe, either France or the UK.
Okay, awesome. I love it. Keep me abreast on that. Yes.
Yes.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Oh, listening to music. Non-negotiable.
Yeah. Who's your favorite artist out there now?
So my music choice is very crazy. Because one moment I could be listening to Yolanda Adams. Yeah. And the next moment I could be listening to Chris Brown.
So you have the crazy. It's called range. You got the spectrum there. Yeah.
It's the whole range of the spectrum.
I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Oh, that I live life to my terms, my own terms. And I want to give permission to them to also live life on their own terms.
Yes, I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Fly around the world, just sprinkling love and happiness to everyone, every household.
Oh, I love it. What do you love to learn about?
To learn about other cultures, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm very keen on learning about other cultures. Even my Netflix choices, it's mostly European stuff, South America, just different, North Africa.
Awesome, I love it. What sparks your creativity?
Ooh, meditation mostly. Yeah.
Good. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
In South Africa, I would bring back the death penalty because we don't have that, which is why criminals are roaming around doing whatever they like.
Wow. You're talking about a tough president, boy. Hey, you got one right there.
Why? I'm not going to be president.
I love it. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Oh, God. Tyler Perry, actually.
Okay.
Just to know what it's like to be Black and rich and in the movie industry.
Oh, I love it. I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's listening out there. Hey, Tyler, call
me.
Hey,
call me.
Yeah, that's right. What do you love to do for others?
what I love to do for others is to just be more loving, more understanding. I just want people to feel safe in my presence.
Yeah. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Oh, God. Gift of self-love.
Okay.
When they didn't choose me, I learned to choose myself.
Yeah. Well,
it's weird, right? It's weird.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
Oh, that I walk into a room and light it up. That's the best compliment I've ever received. Yeah.
That's always a good one there. I love it. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
It's to try new things. I am such an early adopter of things. When there's a new thing, I always say to people, you should see my phone. It's full of apps. If there's a new app, Tola will find it. But it's not just that. I'm such an early adopter. Podcasting in South Africa is not even that, people are still learning about it, but I'm already doing it. And yeah, so I'm not afraid to try new things.
Awesome. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Coming top of my senior class at college, graduating top of the class and getting an award for it.
Awesome. Congratulations. I love it.
Thank you.
What does success look like for you?
For me, it's just having a day that I call a good day. I have food in my tummy. I have shelter. I'm surrounded by people who love me. So to me, it's not monetary. It's how I feel at the end of the day. That's success for me.
What are you most grateful for?
For the people who lifted me up when I was down in the dumps, when I was really going through it, the people who were there for me, I call them my earth angels. Those are the people I'm grateful for, yeah.
I love it. And Tola, what's been the biggest lessons you've learned in life?
Not to judge a book by its cover.
That's what we all need a reminder of, right? Yeah.
No, absolutely. But also going back to the topic of self-love, that's been the biggest thing for me, because I think before I didn't really understand what it means to love yourself and to choose yourself time and again. Yeah.
I love it. And Tola, last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered for how I made people feel. I want to leave people feeling or somehow being better than when I met them. I want people to know, to say, I don't know what it is about her, but there's something, it's an energy that you get by being in her presence. That's how I want to be remembered.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Totally survived. Give yourself a round of applause.
I love it.
Awesome job. Folks out there, Tola, Benny, I hope you've been inspired by her story. You're talking about a coach who knows what she's talking about. Been there, done that. Someone you got to reach out to and follow. Tola, again, if people want to follow you, what's the best way to connect with you?
So send me a DM on Instagram follow me. My Instagram handle is phoenix_rising00 on Instagram.
Awesome. Get out there and support Tola. Folks out there, I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, you have an amazing story, we want to hear from you, please go to tawatson.com and share your story with us. Subscribe to this podcast, Resilient Stories. Download the episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And again, I want to thank Ms. Tola Benny for joining me today. Everyone else out there, peace, God bless, and deuces, everyone.
Peace. Thank
Yours
you.
Truly.
Thanks for having
Dr.
me.
Dr. Watson. Bye.